Yeah, we're on, Judith.
We're on.
Shall we let them listen to the tune for once instead of shouting?
Well, you can talk.
And clapping. No, I can't resist. Come on! Come on!
For God's sake, we really
buck our ideas up week, isn't it? The theme of this week is Have We Bucked Up?
Indeed, have we? Have we? Well, the first thing is we had to buck up because Daisy said we had to be here this morning at 9:30. Very, very early for us.
Judith, and you see, now, in my head, right, in my head, the world of Judith Holder starts revolving at around 7 a.m.
What?
I see you pottering in your kitchen, making your lists.
Of course.
You know, that was, it was the olden days, Judith Holder. Or, you know, up and pottering. And then on with the day, very little packed activities, lots to do, lots to tick off. And I admitted to you in a private phone call earlier this week.
I know what you're going to say.
In a shameful private phone call, that on occasion I wasn't even waking up till 9:30. And what was your response, Judith?
Well, I said, join the club, you know, it's happening to me. I know you were shocked. You were genuinely shocked,
weren't
you? It
was the single thing that made me feel more normal this week. The fact that you, who normally are a lark, a slightly annoying fucking lark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Slightly annoying, really slightly, yes.
A swimming towel rolled under your arm. When I first went to stay in your house, the big house in Hexham.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember sort of going to bed, and it was always really delightful. I had a delightful spare bedroom, and you always put sort of a little jar of flowers.
Oh, I'm glad you noticed that. Yes.
And, you know, there were hot water bottles. It was really comfortable. But every night I slept at your house, I'd go to bed dreading the early morning stuff.
Would you? You didn't
thinking,
say that.
Oh, she's going to be knocking on the door, 7:30. Swim club! Knock on the door, it was like this. Swim club! Are you ready for swim club? And I think, fuck off.
Conversely, when I used to stay at yours in the old days, I'd be up, I'd have to take the kettle up from downstairs, do you remember? So that I didn't have to wait for you all to turn the burglar alarm. I'd be, you know, I'd had a bath, I'd done my lists, I'd listened to something on my podcast, you know, everything.
Yeah, you'd usually gone for a walk as well around my neighbourhood, places I'd never even been before that I now know because of boring neighbourhood walks.
Oh, I know. But yeah, standards have slipped, the whole
timetable has shifted, hasn't it?
It has.
Sometimes I've just had my breakfast and it's lunchtime.
So you're dressed now? Have you managed to dress yourself?
I'm dressed.
Today?
I've just taken a scarf off because I've got a sweaty back of my neck, which is a detail nobody really needs. But you know what?
No, yesterday, but we know now.
Judith, yesterday, I woke up. I've not even got up. I woke up at 9:30. I rolled in and out of a bath.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of accidentally sat down on the remote control, which was on the bed, and it went to Talking Pictures TV. Do you watch Talking Pictures TV?
It's
everyone's got it. It's a free channel. And I think it's around number 80. It's between 80 and 100 on your on your doodah, your didgeridoodah. And there was a black and white film, Judith, that started at 10:30. It was called Portrait of Gloria.
You did not.
You
watched
it? Did. Yeah, I did.
The whole thing
from beginning to end.
It
was one of those glorious black and white things which had diamond heists in and, a turncoat brother and two beautiful women and an artist that painted one of the beautiful women and then had to paint the other beautiful woman. Oh, it was so glorious, Judith. You must seek it out. Seek it out. The unfortunate thing about Talking Pictures TV is that you can't stop it and go downstairs and then start watching it again.
Oh, is it live? Are there ads?
Yes, it's live. It's like a channel, but it puts films on all day. It's really for very old people.
Is it? Well, funnily enough, it's sounding rather appealing.
Yeah.
Why is it called Talking Pictures? Why would it not be Talking Pictures? I don't get that.
Well, I think some of them are only just, you know, on the cusp of when they started doing the talkies.
Oh, lordy. Oh, yes, they are old.
I know.
Well, I mean, you said that you were getting up late, and But I am quite shocked by that. Quite
really?
Shocked.
I'm so delighted that I'm still able to have some level of debauchery, Judith, yes, that you can't quite reach, because it's important to me. And I put it on Twitter. I said, I don't know whether to be proud or you know, appalled by myself. And some people really didn't get it. They're saying, what's your problem? Sort of thing,
oh, really?
You know, watching a morning film. And I think a lot of people don't have that thing that we have both been cursed with, which is a very deeply ingrained work ethic.
Oh, God, absolutely.
Where does yours come from?
Well, from my parents, particularly my mother's family. I mean, I, you know, certainly wouldn't be allowed to kind of, the idea that you'd sit and read a book in the daytime, or that you'd watch a film. No, of course not. No,
oh, books were always all right in our house, but there was a terrible snobbery about television. Yes. Now, we haven't mentioned June for a while. I think sometimes I don't want to talk about it because it's so grim.
How is she?
Bonkers. So very, very bonkers. So utterly away with the fairies that the weirdest thing is, and I've talked to my sister about this, it's very odd because now I had to offload stuff onto my sister, which I've never really done that much because she's
just chosen me,
sympathy.
Haven't you? Absolutely.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I can't do you all the time. Yeah. But there's some family stuff as well. And sometimes, you know, I realise that actually even when my mother was, you know, had hit 90, I was still dumping stuff on her.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, just,
I see what you mean. Yeah, of
you
course.
Know, if something wasn't exactly right, I'd ring my mother and go, nee, nee, nee,
yeah.
nee, nee,
of course
nee.
She would.
And she'd go, oh, pull yourself together.
Yes.
And now, you know, when I phone her in the home, her voice is exactly the same. And that is the mind fuck of it, is the fact that
is.
She sounds exactly the same. Yeah. But she says very bizarre things. Of course, she was very busy over Christmas and New Year because she was actually in charge of the vaccines and she was giving them out at the golf club.
Yep, was she?
Was. But yesterday I phoned her and how the tables turn. You know, we were saying about this sort of ingrained work ethic and our parents not really approving of watching films during the day. She said to me, I can't really talk now. I went, oh, that's okay. And I thought, oh, God, what conspiracy theory? Because she has a lot of those, you know, there's a lot
Does
of
she?
Sometimes,
right.
You know, the police are in the house. She said, no, I can't talk now. We're watching Mary Poppins.
Did she?
Yes, yes. And they have this Wednesday afternoon film club where obviously they put on a sort of DVD or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. And it's in the television room. And I phoned her back later and she said, oh, yes. And we all sang along. And it was the modern Mary Poppins. I haven't seen it, the Emily Blunt I think.
Yeah.
What was odd is that, you know, previously, before she kind of got dementia, she'd have never have sung along with other people.
Wouldn't she? That's interesting, isn't it?
I don't think so. Not people she didn't know very well. I mean, her coffee club, maybe, you know, they might have, or her book club. She might have sort of, you know, joined in. But I'm hoping that, you know, at least there's some fun she can have. Anyway,
yeah.
There we go.
I guess if you're in that situation, you've got to join in. You've got to be a joiner-inner, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to turn into
one. Was your mum a
one.
Joiner-inner? Because my mum wasn't really. She had a very small, close circle of friends and just wasn't very gregarious.
I think she's posher, isn't she? But yes, no, my mum was much more of a joiner-in. And I think it must be easier, really, I suppose, to fit in and make friends, wasn't it? So what we're going to have to do, you and I are going to have to remember
oh,
that.
Oh, God,
you're
Judy.
Worse
well,
than
we've
me.
Talked about us sharing the same old people's home. And I know you've already said that you would take charge and you'd bagsy the best bedroom and all that kind of thing. And I, you know, I think that I'm going to have, oh God, in the future though, you know, all the shops are going to the wall. I'll probably end up in a little dormitory, you know, in something that used to be Debenhams.
Debenhams, I know. What are we going to do with all those buildings?
I don't know. It's all so grim and it's all so frightening.
It is grim.
And anyway,
it is
a good buck up thing. I had one of those research COVID tests.
Oh,
that
yes.
was delivered.
Yes.
I told
yes,
you about it
yes.
and that how I struggled to make the box. And I was very, very relieved that, you know, I lived with a sort of, you know, somebody who's built houses in the past because Jeff
what,
was
able
to. Was
it that difficult?
Well,
so
it was for
difficult?
Me, Judith. Yes, it was. It was sort of one of those things
then.
That you look at and suddenly the instructions mean absolutely nothing.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Your brain just freezes
I
over.
Do. I do.
And I had to go to Jeff, I can't do the box. And then. that you have to book a slot on. So it's all to do with UCL, University College London. And you get a number and then you have to go online and you have to book it. The first thing you have to do is book a courier to come and pick up your...
God, it must be quite expensive, all this, mustn't it? I mean, well, I suppose they've got to do it, but...
They've got to do it because they've got to know where the hotspots are, I suppose, in London. Yeah. I mean, London's completely out of control at the moment. It's so frightening because I was listening to the news this morning, and this is why I'd rather be watching Talking Pictures TV, is because the local news, King's College Hospital, which is my local hospital, run out of intensive care beds.
Oh, God, Jenny, you're joking.
No, it's, you know, they've had to, some of the people who are recovering from intensive care have got to, they've got a deal now with a Great Western Hotel.
Shit.
And they're being, I don't know why they're not going to the Nightingale. I don't know, Judith, but, you know, and that sort of fear that rolls through you.
Yeah,
anyway,
I
did the swab. You do your throat first and then you do up your nose. You don't
Which
want to do
worst.
It the other way around.
Which is worst?
Throat. I did gag. Because it says you've got to waggle it round your tonsils and I haven't got tonsils. Mine got taken out when I was 18. Very dramatic thing.
Has it got like a mark on it that you have to kind of go up your nose too sort of thing so you know how... Because I'd hate to do that. Oh, you've got to do it, haven't you? But
yeah, you've got to do it. Your nose is all right. It just feels like you're going to sneeze very hard. It's just you go up your nose as far as you can, but not don't push.
God,
basically,
don't push.
You know, don't shove it beyond where
don't.
It, you know, naturally stops.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got the results and I had a negative result.
Oh, but, good.
But of course, I, since then, I've been paranoid about, you know, I now want to test every week to check.
But of course you do. I mean, I vacillate between being sort of inert and kind of lethargic for me. I mean, which is still not very lethargic. And terrified. I realised that twice this week, I've been in the kitchen and I've had a funny turn, Jenny. I've had a funny turn. I had a funny dizzy turn.
Right.
And I've realised that both times it's happened, it's coincided with the news. You know, the news comes on the radio and it's some ghastly thing like the terrifying thing that you just said. And it's like I stop breathing. I'm so fucking terrified.
Yeah.
I stop breathing.
You're hyperventilating, Judy.
I kind of am.
You hyperventilate. Yeah. I mean, the good thing is that you found the connection because, you know, if you're having funny turns without being anxious, then... You know, you've got to get anxious about it. But this is, you know, this is a natural funny turn.
Well, I think it is. It's sort of fight or flight, isn't it, really? I mean, we were in Abingdon last weekend. We had to take the bikes in to be mended. So we went to Abingdon. And I found myself walking past Greg's and just really fancied a vegan sausage roll. I'm not a vegan, but I do like a vegan sausage roll.
I'm not sure whether we're allowed as meat eaters. I'm not sure what the vegans are going... There might be vegans that... We might get letters about this, Judith.
What do you think? Saying, we shouldn't be taking them.
Well, I'm not sure you should be taking the vegan sausage rolls. But you've done it. It's too late now.
I don't think there's a world shortage. But no, so I nipped in. And you know, it was only a nipping in.
Yeah.
And people were masked. But now I think, you know, when the news comes on, I think, shit... You know, that'll be the death of me, won't it? That's probably
were you wearing a mask?
Yes, of course I was, but I mean,
well, then,
you know,
you should be safe. You should be safe.
No, do you think? I just think that's...
Well, why would Greggs be any more dangerous than anywhere else?
If people
were wearing their masks.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's this new variant, isn't it? But I think that's the level of the fear. I mean,
because the shop's quite small. I see.
The shop was quite small. Yeah. There were two people in front of me, had to wait, you know, and I was aware that it was quite warm, and I just thought, oh, shit. Because I still stayed in the cute and grabbing a vegan sausage roll. But it would be a sad
end. Risking life and limb over a vegan
sausage
roll.
I know. But I, and then, of course, is this sort of, you know, this terrible neurosis that happens to me. Is that was it? And it would be fucking annoying, wouldn't it? To, you know, if that was the end of me. Death
cause of death.
Greg's
you'd have
roll.
To have it on your gravestone. Popped into Greg's.
It was the sausage roll. What did it?
It wasn't even sausage. It was a vegan sausage roll. What a waste.
God.
It's easier not to go out, isn't it?
It is. I've ordered some better masks. I've ordered some heavy duty numbers and some visors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've got the... Yes, I'm doing the visors. And as I said, remember this, you have to peel off the two sides because otherwise you can't see anything.
Yeah,
now, the other health thing, just to round off our sort of, you know, hypochondriac's corner, you know, I had to do the Effudix treatment over Christmas.
And, I did. I saw some photos, yeah.
Yeah, and I got very scabby indeed. It's all healed. It's all healed.
Is
the
it?
New skin on the... It's the pre-skin... cancer cells that were detected in the summer of last year, and you had to put this cream on, and it burns the skin down to where the dodgy cells are and burns them away, but it does leave
awful,
your face in a bit of a mess. It was quite painful, but it's better now. But I've got this top lip, and it's kind of new shiny pink baby skin.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's
what happened to the scab? Hold on, what happened to the scab?
I didn't eat it. It didn't fall into my mouth at night. That didn't happen.
No, but did it come off in a big...
It came off in little bits. It kind of crumbled in tiny, like little Rice Krispies.
Oh,
it was, yeah, it was. That was the very messy bit. But anyway, so, you know, if you do think you have any problems with pre-skin cancer cells, you know, it is worth getting them checked out.
Oh, well, well done for doing that, Jenny. I'm pleased
it's
you're
done.
Out the other
it's
end.
Done.
Yes. No, I'm
right.
really pleased you're out
now,
the other end with
Judith,
that. Good.
I know that this week you have got new domestic projects.
Because I put on the notice board, yes. Whatever, I saw Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, I think that's the surname, isn't it?
Yeah.
On various talk shows over the Christmas. And I got to the stage, Jenny. I know you don't like talking about diets, but I weighed myself after Christmas. And
why
I
did you
now,
do that?
Well, because I'm getting so enormous. And, you know, we're puffering the else. You know, my mother had diabetes and so did my grandmother. So I've got to, you know... I'm heavier than Mike. I mean, doesn't know that. Doesn't
well, that doesn't, you know, I'm heavier than Mike and I'm a foot shorter.
Yes, no, I mean, I've been heavier than him for quite a long time, but he doesn't know that. But I mean, I'm considerably anyway. So I thought, anyway, Hugh Fearnley, what's his name, was talking about his new book, which is, I think it's called Eat Better Forever, right? So it's not a diet, Jenny. It's not a diet.
Yeah, they always say that. It's not a diet, but here's a diet.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, we'll wait for it. I'll come on to that. Anyway, it's about sort of, you know, pulses and good oils and nuts and all of that. So I thought, right, I'm going to get that. Sold out so quickly that the only copies, Jenny, were...
Even on Amazon?
Yeah. They got one in... I found one in Blackwell's in Edinburgh and one in Cambridge. All right, the Cape. Anyway, so all sent over, you know, checking my emails to see when it come in. Got it. Sat down with me, post-it notes.
No.
Pen. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, took it really seriously. And so I went to the Whole Foods shop. You see, it's become, you know, a big project, frankly. Yeah. Yeah. Went to the Whole Foods shop, got a load of butter beans, lentils, and
all dried, not tinned.
Yeah, risked my life with those things. Okay. In very pleasing little brown paper bags. I washed all my Kilner jars, got them in. I made some granola. Oh, it's been marvellous, Jenny.
Yeah.
Absolutely marvellous.
Yeah, it's ideal. Pulses are ideal. Anything you have to soak is quite... Is it stuff you have to soak?
Oh, it's all soaking.
Is it this is it, isn't it? It's kind of make your own beans on toast, but you've got to soak your beans 3 days before you know you're going to want beans on toast.
It's ideal lockdown, keeping you busy sort of territory. And and also making kefir as well, because he's very into kefir and something else beginning with K. Oh, kimchi. Oh, my God, I bought some kimchi. Have you ever bought any?
Well, I thought you were... We had kimchi together once, didn't we? When we went to that Korean place.
Yes, we did. Gosh, that's a long time ago. And it was quite a bit of an acquired taste, isn't it? Anyway, there's a lot in this book about kimchi and kefir, because it's, you know, good for your gut and everything. So it's the first time I've ever bought a jar of it. I opened it. Jenny, I nearly jumped out of my seat, okay? Because you open a jar, unless it was off. I opened the jar of kimchi. And you know when you open something and it's kind of fizzy... And sort of, you know, it's got all this energy coming out like a bottle of champagne. So it literally kind of popped out. Yeah, it did that. And then it sort of rose up, like the alien, kind of rose up out of the jar.
Yeah, it's either really good or really gone off.
Well, yes, that's a good point. I think, well, I don't know.
And how did it taste? And what did you have it with?
Revolting, really. Kind of revolting, you know. You're supposed to have it with kind of scrambled eggs and all sorts of things. No, I've been quite good. Anyway, I've been pretty good. Oh, my God, the loo roll. You know, going through the...
Multi-packs.
Oh, absolutely. And the flatulence. But unfortunately, I've just come to the bit in the book on the portion control. And that's a bit depressing, Jenny. Yeah.
You're a healthy eater, Judith. That's all I'm going to say.
You're just being nice, aren't you? I mean, I think Mike and I eat masses. So, yeah that's a bit depressing.
I mean, you know, I think that having a project that involves Kilner jars, there is something very satisfying
about a full
Kilner jar and opening a cupboard to see labelled full Kilner jars.
Yeah, absolutely. Do I need a proper labeller? Somebody in the gang sent me a photograph of one of those things that, you know, you do, they do those sort of nice printouts that you sort of stick on.
Well, do you remember those sort of gun ones that you used to have a dial and you'd do every letter?
Oh, yes, I do!
And then it'd come out and you'd peel the back off and it came
like
a ticker tape thing and they were nice.
Oh, I love
my dad was very good at things like that. But even Jeff and I have bought Kilner jars during lockout. Oh, God, I got locked out of my house as well in the middle of a pandemic. Oh, there's a double whammy.
That would be worrying. Bloody hell.
No, we've even bought Kilner jars, Judith.
Oh,
we have very little space at all, but we've got one for the cereal, one for risotto rice, one for normal rice, and one for pasta.
Good.
So, I with Kilner jars, I mean, obviously they should come with a great big warning. When you open your new Kilner jar, there should be, you know, a piece of paper that says, warning, you know, once this is full and you drop it on your foot, you will end up in A&E. And as you said earlier, you know, we're spending all our time at the moment trying to avoid hospital.
Shit.
So I look at these Kilner jars with sort of some trepidation and I just think, oh, I've got to make sure that they're not sort of hanging over the ledge, because if that drops on Jeff's foot, I'd have to amputate his foot before I took him to King's at the moment. And then he cut his hand on the mandolin.
What do you
mean,
that was
another lockdown purchase.
What's a mandolin?
Judith, you're the kitchen girl. I'm the rock and roll girl.
I don't think I don't. What do you mean a mandolin?
A mandolin is a slicer. It's a slicer. You've probably got a Magimix. You know,
yes.
If you wanted to shred cabbage?
Yeah.
Well, you shred it on a mandolin.
Oh,
it's like a sort of strumming thing. It's like a strumming instrument.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a sort of, you know, like in a skiffle band. So people had a washboard, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You mustn't play the mandolin like a washboard because you would shred your fingers. It's
got a
blade in it. When we finish recording this, you must go away and look up pictures of mandolins on the internet.
I'm scared.
I put it on a high shelf, Judith. I put it on a high shelf now.
Did you?
Yes.
Mind you, I'd be terrified of your waste disposer. They bloody terrify me.
Yeah, you mustn't put your hand down a waste disposal unit when it's making that crunchy, crunchy noise.
Oh, stop it.
That really, my willy has just shriveled. Because normally I have quite a large penis. And when you said that, my penis just went, I'm a little dormouse now. I've just gone screech, a tiny little curled up dormouse cock. Now, my domestic... new thing this week, Judith. Honestly, I don't know what you're going to say about this, but I'm not sure your Kilner jars. I'm going to raise your Kilner jars in your new Pulse project. and I'm going to offer you my new robot Hoover. Yes! This is my surrogate sausage dog grandchild. She's endlessly fascinating because I've furloughed the cleaner again.
Yep. Sensible.
Because I think, you know, she has to get here on public transport. That's not fair on her. It's not fair on us. So cleaner back on furlough. And I'm a lazy cow, Judith. And I don't mind admitting it. I find housework very boring. And I've done very little of it in my life, which sounds very
snotty.
I can absolutely vouch for that.
So hold on. A robot Hoover. So these are the things like the lawn mowers that go around and...
Yeah.
Do they work? Does it work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, it's remote controlled. You just put it on. It's like a spinning disc, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like... Imagine a squashed down paint pot. So it's the size of a large, a very large dinner plate. The kind of dinner plate you and Mike would like to eat your meals on because it'd make them look smaller.
Yeah,
it's a large dinner plate. And it's about 4 inches high. Mm-hmm. So it goes under the our sofas and it goes under...
It goes under the sofas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's got this kind of memory brain thing. It costs 168 quid, right? Not only does it vacuum, Judith, not only does it mops.
Good heavens. Why haven't I got one of these? No, but wait a minute. When I visualise this, I visualise it getting stuck and sort of shagging the skirting boards for half an hour.
Well, we don't have any skirting boards.
Oh, well, okay. But doesn't it get stuck under the sofa or...?
It did get stuck under... We've got a low occasional table, very low. and it got stuck under there because it did hump. It started to hump a pile of cables that were under that table. And then it sends out this sort of little bleating, beeping noise. And you have to go and dig it out.
You've got to go and see to it.
Yeah, but apparently it learns the layout of your room. It's
never
only done it twice.
Never.
Yes. And so it knows what to avoid in the end. I might be sort of giving it the benefit of the doubt. But I think really we didn't buy a very expensive one. I think there are much more state-of-the-art ones. It depends how much, you know, you want to pay and that kind of thing.
And have you tried the mop thing yet?
Yes, I have, Judith. And I had to send it back. I had to sort of, you know, make it do it twice. But remember, ours is quite a big open plan space. So it ran out of water before it ran out of, you know, ability.
Right.
So that's something you have to watch a bit. I think sort of, because you just leave it to do it itself. My plan... Right, is to do this every Sunday morning. You know, get up, go make a cup of coffee, set the Hoover bit off, and then once that's done, do the mopping while we lie in bed listening to the Archers. There's a plan.
I think that sounds like a splendid plan. Yeah. Oh, I rather fancy one of those. Okay.
You can't have everything, do you? You've got to set an art studio. The robot Hoover is mine. You've got a dog. This is my surrogate dog. Honestly, Jeff and I... It was like watching your child in a nativity play. We couldn't take our eyes off it. We sat on the edge of the sofa going, look, look. Oh, isn't it clever? Oh, that's incredible, really, isn't it?
When you say it's remote control, you don't actually... It's not like one of those boats that you see people in parks with.
No, I think that would make Jeff very happy indeed because he loves remote control things. And he did say rather plaintively... It would be really good if you could tell it where to go. But it decides itself. It does a sort of zigzag thing around. So that's what we've got. And then, but Jeff did say, when it finishes, right, when it's finished and it's getting tired, it has to go back to its dock, which is where it charges.
But does it do that on its own?
Yeah, but Jeff picked it up because it looked tired. And carried it back to the dock. And he actually said out loud, he said, I'll just put it back in its cot. Yeah, I know. So that's my new hobby, which is basically sitting on... Oh, well, we're not sitting on the sofa just watching it, Judith. When you've got a remote-controlled vacuum cleaner like we have, it gives you more time to do your jigsaws.
Well, you really have been doing the jigsaws, haven't you? Now, I kind of get it, and I did see one that you put on the notice board this morning, which I think was a map of London, which looked jolly impressive. But what
it wasn't
did
the
you...
whole of London; it was only our little corner.
It was your little corner, but it looked it was impressive. So I do have this kind of picture of the two of you sort of having wholesome fun on your jigsaw table. But what do you do? I mean,
we do it naked. Honestly, we do take a lot of drugs while we're jigsawing it. We do a huge amount of cocaine. What we do is we just get naked, get a great big pile of cocaine and a jigsaw, and that's our night sorted out.
That's your night sorted out. Yeah.
But that's mine because I've given up the jogging.
Well, I was just going to say, hold on a minute. This is a bit different from the jogging jelly that we all with that was before Christmas. What's happened to the jogging, Jenny?
I decided, Judith. Two things happened to interrupt my jogging. The treatment for my face became very painful, so painful that I couldn't really hack going out and jogging about with it on my lip. And I was self-conscious, which is unusual for me. And I wanted to wear a mask, but if I ran in a mask, it rubbed it. and that was not good for it.
Yeah, so no, I'm taking that's quite a legitimate excuse. I'm absolutely buying that.
And then post Christmas with the new lockdown, I have found several of my local parks almost unbearable at certain times of days because of the amount of joggers. And it's really, really upset me. And I've found, particularly in Dulwich Park, the amount of male joggers running far too close and breathing and being able to feel their breath. So upsetting. I just thought, do I really want to be part of this community, adding to this problem, upsetting people, getting too close because there's no space? And I thought, well, this is a really good excuse to
brilliant.
Be
got
jogging.
You've got two there, haven't you? Yeah, no, I think you're covered. Yeah, I think you're covered. Well covered there, Jenny. Yeah. And I'm
so well covered. I'm getting more and more well covered because I'm getting fatter and fatter by the day. And I just sort of at the moment, I just don't care. I think I'll get back to it once things ease up a bit. But at the moment, I don't think I've got the mental capacity. And I'm still going out for a walk every day, but there are certain places where I'm so anxious. I'm getting so anxious.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine. I think it's a good decision. Well, I've been doing a bit of painting. I tell you what I've been doing art-wise.
Yeah.
Is I've been trying to do some self-portraits.
Yeah, God. I know.
Well, the first one I did, it's I kind of looked like Minnie Caldwell.
Well, what's really odd about that, because you're a good painter, Judith, but the one thing you are not good at so far, but I remain faithful, I think that it'll come, is your self-portraits. I thought, has she done that with the contents of some of her pulse jars? Because it looked like you'd done a collage out of cereal of your face.
But the thing with you is that... It was seriously bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very, very sort of... it looked like crumble. It looked like the top of an apple crumble. Not being rude here, but I obviously
I put it on the notice board to show
because you've got a very pretty face. Any real distinguishing features. You don't have very dark eyebrows. You don't wear glasses. You don't really wear a lipstick. There's nothing. It's because there's nothing weird. Or do you know
easy.
What I mean?
Yeah, I do. I know. Yes, I do know what you mean, because it's like if you've got something sort of easy and like a huge, a nose or something. I mean, they're difficult, aren't they? Drawing is really, really difficult.
It's much easier to draw me because I'm a cartoon.
Yes, I suppose you are a bit, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a face the shape of an egg. And then you just put on glasses, a bit of spiky hair and red lipstick, and it's there, but that's a cartoon. I've never really attempted to do a series. I've done a couple.
But you should, I think
myself.
You should.
I don't really like portraits,
You might turn into Ina Sharples. Maybe you'll be the Ina Sharples to my Minnie Caldwell.
Oh,
you know.
There's a double act.
Well,
they were great, weren't
they? Loved them. Didn't you love them in the
I didn't really watch it that much at that time.
Oh, didn't you?
No, because I suppose, what would that have been? Would that have been 1970?
Oh, no. Well, I think the 60s and 70s. I mean, Ina and Minnie. But I can just picture it. Yes, Minnie Caldwell. She was definitely the sidekick. I wonder who would be who. If we were Ina and Minnie. See, I think I might be Ina and you might be Minnie.
Minnie.
What do you think? Minnie.
Well, I think we just have to be another completely different double act, but in the same kind of tradition.
Mm. Mm.
And there's always a little bit of us as well who want to be Elsie Tanner.
Oh, she was sexy, wasn't she?
There's a streak in both of us that just go, no, let me be Elsie Tanner today. I don't want to be Ina and I don't want to be Minnie. I want to be Elsie. Our friend, Kate Robbins, said on social media recently that she wanted to play Elsie Tanner in a drama and she would make a great Elsie Tanner.
Oh,
she
would.
She really would.
Somebody ought to do a biopic about her, actually, don't you think?
Yeah, because she was. I mean, I remember meeting her.
Did you actually meeting her?
Yes, because when I lived in Manchester when I was a drama student and the year following, I used to do lunchtime theatre in a wine bar called the Gallery Wine Bar on Peter Street in Manchester, which was very near Granada Studios. And I think it was just like one of the nearest wine bars. And Elsie Tanner, Pat Phoenix, used to come in. And she used to come in full makeup. I think she was just on a break in the filming.
Wow.
Because the makeup was really full on. And she'd have a fur coat and a fag and big hair. And she'd come in with the actor Tony Booth.
Yeah.
who was Sherry Blair's dad.
I know, wasn't that weird?
The most unlikely father-daughter thing wasn't you could just... ever imagine.
Because I know.
He was a bit kind of a bit of a Jack the Lad, wasn't he?
Oh, very much so. Well, he was in Till Death Us Do Part, wasn't he? Yes. That's where he made his name. I know, I remember reading that and thinking, no, it can't, that can't be.
I know. It's one of those real double take things where you go, what?
But she was marvellous, wasn't she? She was absolutely magnificently sexy and common.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, actually, I tell you what she was. She was Ina Sharple's match. She was the only one, as I remember, who could stand up to Ina. Don't you think?
Yeah, and they did. I mean, when you think of Elsie Tanner having a row, you do think of her having a standing up row as well, with one hand on her hip and the other hand pointing, because she was common, so she did pointing. Because it's very rude to point.
Probably with her fag.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's taken us back. We've gone down a little nostalgic path there, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We'll leave that there and we'll get on to our cultural roundup of the week, Judith. People really enjoyed our two old ladies. It started with seven old ladies locked in the lavatory on the podcast last week. They really enjoyed it. Thank you very much for letting us know you enjoyed that. We'll get to your emails later. Judith, what are you watching on the television?
I'm very much in the sort of weighted blanket type TV that I learned about last week from you, that term. Yes, I'm into comfort TV at the moment, I must say. I tried The Serpent and it was too grim. So at the moment, I'm into Gardener's World. God, I love Monty Don. I mean, I really do like Monty Don. Just fancy him so much. So I'm finding that very calming. I'm watching back catalogue of Sewing Bee, which I haven't seen that many of, and I'm loving that. And I'm enjoying, of course, the new series of Pottery Throw Drake.
Oh, isn't it marvellous? It was such a strong start as well. And I love the new presenter, the Derry girl, the new host, Siobhan McSweeney.
She's great.
It's an inspired piece of casting.
Yes.
I really loved The Serpent, but I agree with you, it's very chilling indeed. Oh, and I think that sort of you can overload the murders. And it was gruesome. And also it does, we couldn't watch it while we were eating.
Why?
Because there were scenes of people vomiting.
Oh, yes, there were actually, weren't there?
And
yes,
it was quite graphic. And I really can't be eating when anything like that's going on. So it had to be, it's one of our later night things we've finished.
Oh, you've got different showings, have you? You've got your daytime. Yes, talking.
Yes, we have
TV.
A comfort blanket. I totally agree with you with that, and I love Pottery Throwdown. And for those who are, you know, enjoy Pottery Throwdown and that kind of ilk, I have to coming soon. Klaxon, Blown Away is coming back on the 21st of January on Netflix. Do you remember it, Judith?
This is your
glass blowing competition from Canada.
I'm going to give that a go.
It did blow me away last year. I love it so very dearly. And I haven't done the Pembrokeshire murders because I couldn't go from The Serpent to another murder.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
We need a murder-free alternative.
Yeah, you do. You need a few showings, yes. But it's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it is good, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What about films?
Oh, well, you know what? We watched, because we didn't see it in the cinema, was I found on Netflix First Man. First Man is about the first man on the moon, and it's Ryan Gosling and Claire Foy.
It's great. Yes. It's a great film. We watched it over Christmas.
It's
I don't know whether
wonderful.
I mentioned it. It's a beautiful, very quiet piece of brilliance, and it's just... it doesn't shout, it doesn't do anything, sort of, there's no bells and whistles, it's just really well done.
Oh, it's compelling, absolutely compelling. Yeah. But I tell you what it did, it sort of put into context my fear of flying. I think, you know, if in the fullness of time I do ever get on a plane again, because the bloody hell, the kind of, what didn't you think?
How much Valium would you need? How much Valium would you need
there's
to get
there is,
that
there's
tiny
no price,
pod?
There's, could I do it to save my daughter's lives? Maybe. Oh, maybe.
It would be down to that. I mean, you wouldn't do it to save Poppy's life, would you?
Definitely not. The terror that I would feel. And you know that scene where they're going...
Especially because if you kill in a jar full of pulses, Judith. I mean, honestly, the flatulence in your pod. You choke yourself to death.
I wouldn't be the right person to be in one of those pods with, I can tell you, when they were so small. The claustrophobia of those things that they went into. Yes. But that scene when they're going off to the moon, do you remember it? And they go over that platform, which is to the top. They go in the lift up and you think, shit, they're going to the moon. And they might not come back. Fuck. And they go over that walkway. And it was a little bit, you know, like on a plane. Do you remember that bit, that corridor?
Yeah.
You know, the way you had to queue up.
Yeah.
And I thought, do you know what? At every stage, I would be saying to Matt, can't do it. I have to go back. I have to tell that woman, I can't do it. I've got to eat a poo. And of course they couldn't, could they? They couldn't. And then they go off and...
Far.
It was terrifying, but also there was a human story. I really thought it was a great film.
I totally agree with you. And it made me think, though, that I would like to see an entire film just about the Apollo wives.
Oh, God, yes.
Because they're like army wives in a way, aren't they? They kind of live on a campus together.
Yes, yes.
And all that. I mean, some of them, and I think some of them were quite famous. And there was one that had a stutter. And didn't want to meet the president. And there's another one who's an alcoholic. And you could... Oh, will you write that film for me, Judith, please? Just get on
with
that.
Well, I was just thinking, because there's two good ideas we've come up from there, haven't we, today? We need to go away and write before everybody else says, which is the drama about Pat Phoenix. Why hasn't anyone done that? And the one about the...
Apollo Wives.
Apollo Wives.
We could put Pat Phoenix in the Apollo Wives.
Oh, do it together.
She'd tell them what to do.
Yeah.
Book roundup.
Well, I'm on the book club at the moment. I need you one at a time, Jenny. I'm not like you. I'm on Miss Benson's Beetle, which is an audible, and it's read by Juliet Stevenson, and it's really, really got me. I'm really into it, and it's a very unusual story.
A lot of our listeners are enjoying that too, because we have started a new thing of putting up our cultural roundup of the week onto our Instagram notice board. And a lot of people are saying that they're very much enjoying Miss Benson's
Beetle. Great. It's a very unusual book and it's really, really got me. Yeah.
And Juliet Stevenson is a fine narrator. I have taken refuge in an Agatha Christie this week on my Audible. Just now and again, you need the reassurance, don't you? Of life decades before the pandemic, all nannies and country houses and that sort of thing. So we got The Crooked House, which is actually apparently rated one of Agatha's best. It's only about 7 hours on Audible, but it's a great little twisty tale. And we are going into City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert, which was a Sunday Times bestseller last year. And that is set amongst the world of 1940s American showgirls. And I think that I'm doing a lot of vicarious showbiz fiction reading to make up for what's lacking in my performance life, because I've still got an hour... and a half of The Valley of the Dolls.
Have you got all these on the go at the same time?
Because I have one that I share with Jeff and then I have one for myself. Okay. And we also finished just before the Agatha Christie, the Andrew O'Hagan's Mayflies, which is brilliantly written. I mean, if you want proper writing, Andrew O'Hagan is a proper writer, Scottish, but it's gut-wrenchingly sad. It's about a group of young men, Scottish men, that go to Manchester for a punk weekend, 10 years of punk weekend. And then we catch up with their sort of modern day life and one of them is in trouble. We'll put those all up on the notice board.
Yes.
So you can have a browse.
Now, look, while we're talking about the notice board, should we just remind people the Instagram, we haven't done this for ages, the Instagram is Older and Wider Podcast. So now I've done the easy one and you've got to do the email.
So our email address is olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
How genuinely throws me every time.
I think is it time for another email competition? I think it's time to throw open a merch competition. I think a mug might be up for grabs next week for the best email suggesting, an unusual way of getting through these difficult days.
I don't think we want to encourage people to do jigsaws nude. Can I just say that?
All right. But it's good doing it nude because you've always got somewhere to hide that last piece. And at the end, you can go, now, you've got to find the piece that I hid. Is it up my fanny? Is it up my bum? Go on. Seek, seek. So we got a nice email from Barry this week. Unfortunately, he can't win anything because we hadn't opened the competition. But this is the kind of thing that we like. I'm Barry, 76 and three quarters.
And did you see that he called us girls? He says, hi girls. Yeah, we like Barry.
He's 76 and three quarters. He's married, 54 years, in brackets, to the lovely Wendy. She's 75 and three quarters. We love the show. They're doing all the back numbers. Can I share my secret free holiday idea with my favourite girls? That's you two. That's us. Mm.
I concentrated when I read that bit, did you? I thought, all right, okay. Listen up.
Every evening, using YouTube, I search for a different walk. I started with the various London walks, of which there are hundreds around the King's Road and Islington, etc., and then ventured around lovely Rye and Lyons-Sea and
Nice
Edinburgh.
Idea.
Lately, I found our wonderful world. It's been there, sitting there, waiting for you. I've walked up Mount Fuji in Japan, strolled around Rome, gone to Capri and done Naples at night and numerous others. The walks are gentle, some have talking guides, but most only have the background noise and sound of pedestrian chatter, all for free. Mm-hmm. And then there's a PS, finally got rid of my Corby trouser press.
Yes, well done, Barry.
So that's the sort of thing that floats our boat, I think, Judith, don't you think?
Are you going to give that a go?
Oh, well, yes, because I'm bored shitless of Camberwell walks.
I know, I'm bored of bloody, soggy, muddy Oxfordshire walks as well. Where would you go if you could? Where'd you put in the YouTube?
I'm thinking of my own favourite walks now, just before. I mean, I think I do very much want to go to Japan, so I think I might do Cherry Blossom in Japan.
Very nice. Funny enough, in Gardener's World this week, they had a whole thing about Cherry Blossom because they were looking back over the year's programmes and you see, I've become a bit of an expert. And they had this footage of a sort of valley, not in Tokyo where they all have picnics underneath, but it was a valley and they planted these masses of cherry blossom trees and they were all kind of almost like in different patterns up and down the hills. And it was just magical. Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Okay, so we're going for little strolls around Japan.
And I'm going to go to St Agnes, where we used to go for all our holidays when the girls were little. It's a little off-island of the Scillies, and it's only tiny. It's about two miles wide and a mile long, and I could walk round there with my eyes closed. I'd like to do that.
What's the point of that? And I do think, though, this did make me think of favourite walks, and I always really enjoyed... I had this apartment in Melbourne during the Comedy Festival a few years ago, and I was able to walk from my apartment to the studio at the Arts Centre, and that was just such a joyful, easy thing to do. And it's always quite mellow, the weather, and it was sort of... And if I couldn't be arsed, I could always jump on a tram, and it was just... Yeah, it was just the ideal length of walk. Mm. Anyway, there we go.
Mm. One day.
Yep, one day. Anyway, okay, Judith, what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
I'm going to the vegetable market, which is a big deal. We get dressed up.
Goodness.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Well, and then when you get back, I want you to get on with your self-portrait, and then I want you to put it in the attic because that's the best place for it.
Well, you never know, they might start getting better. But yes, and what about you?
I'm waiting for a new jigsaw to arrive, so I'm sitting by the front door. Okay, everybody.
You're getting through those. And don't forget to send us the emails of things that you're doing in lockdown three. What did we say? Unusual activities, should we say?
Unusual and original. Yes, things to take our minds off lockdown three. Unusual and original, please. Thank you very much.
Yes. Toodle-pip.